Good evening, everybody. This is Alyssa von Kirkbride, First Lady of the Black Petticoat Society, and we are delighted to welcome you to what I guess we could call our season in review, or our wrap-up, I suppose. And we're delighted to have everyone here in the chat, and then I also have five lovely ladies with me here from Tumblr. I'm going to introduce them by their blog titles, so that you might know them by name. We're going to start with Ms. 1776. Hello.
Hello, everybody. It's Karen.
Hello. Then we'll go next to Swift Chris 355.
Hello. Hi, everyone. It's Krista.
Hello.
And one of my, I always say this, but really it's true, one of my favorite URLs of all time, one nerd to rule them all, me.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. It's Robin.
And as I like to say, I think I said maybe on our first podcast, the Caleb to my Benjamin, Miss Lucky Silver Bell. Hello.
Hello, everyone. It's Amanda.
So we're so happy to be back with everybody again, finally. I know that a lot of us have been waiting patiently and doing everything in our power to ensure that the season will be renewed. But gonna have to wait to see. I know it's not the easiest thing. I know that we've all kind of been a little bit impatient and we've all kind of been a little bit worried about it. But I want to make sure that everyone's aware that regardless of the decision that AMC makes, we are sticking with TURN, and the Black Petticoat Society will remain active. We will, remain loyal to the show, and we'll continue to have things going on for the fandom. So rest assured that those of you who love TURN, you'll always have a home with us. You'll always have a place with PS, and we'll continue to enjoy the content that we have so far. We're hoping that we'll have more next year, but we just, I guess, have to be patient and see how everything is going to pan out. We do have some questions. I know there might be some questions about our trip to Williamsburg, but I think that maybe we should start with the questions that we received from Allison, and then we could go from there and kind of talk a little bit more about who we are and what we do a little bit later in the podcast. So Allison had sent me some questions earlier today. They're awesome. They're great. So the first is, she said, I wanted to know what you all thought of the different character growth this season, from Mary to Hewlett, and sort of character regression in Benedict Arnold. Does anyone want to start with that one?
I can start. Mary, to me, is just, like, the most fascinating character. I think she doesn't get a lot of credit, but her her devotion to Abe, even though I disagree with you, and I know you don't love me, but I'm going to protect you and guide you and, help you out. And it's just like, wait. Why would I do that to somebody that didn't love me back and I had completely different ideologies about? It's just, to me, she is just so fascinating that she's like, no, you only have to kill one person. You don't have to do all these other things. Like, she is just so deep in this plot. I don't even know what her incentive is other than to keep Abe alive.
Right. I think, and looking back on her, even through the first season and then growing into being more part of her character in this one, she's all about family. Like Robin was saying, she knows Abe doesn't love her. She knows something's going on with Anna, but she doesn't care. He's her husband. He's the father of her child. His father's housing them, and she wants to make sure her family's safe. And that's what motivates her. And I love that. And I love that she's shown that strength this season.
I actually think another part of her motivation, she sees what's happened to Anna, and Anna doesn't even have kids, but she's just essentially lost her husband, and Mary's probably thinking, I have my husband, I have my son with him, if something happens to him, then what's going to happen to her? Mm-hmm. She's not going to be in a very good place. She'll be, you know, a single mother at that point who was married to a patriot. And even though Anna technically did nothing wrong, the entire town shunned her. And Mary, seeing this, as I will have no way to care for my son. I'll have, you know, I'll have nothing. And it's not just her who's going to suffer. It's Sprout, too. And, you know, with the attitude that Richard's been getting, she can't really for sure say that he would help her out. I mean, she knows he's not going to let his son get killed, but she doesn't know if that would extend to protect her as well.
And she's doing things that we didn't expect. I don't think a lot of us expected that she would do, meeting with Anna, lying to Richard, and doing so rather flippantly, you know, that he comes downstairs and asks, have you seen, you know, the weapon that I keep in my, you know, this pistol that I keep in my room? And she says to him, you know, she's still sipping her tea. I think it's very telling that Mary does not pause in what she's doing to turn and do. We were just talking about how they say turn in the show. But she doesn't pause and put down her teacup and give Richard her attention, which it would make sense to do, being that he's her father-in-law, being that he's in a position of authority, being that he's a judge. Giving him that respect would make sense. But she kind of ignores him. It's almost as if Richard is irritating her by asking this question. So when she says, oh, I don't know, why don't you ask Aberdeen? She's really dismissing Richard in his own house. At least that's how I kind of took it. And so we're seeing this kind of attitude from her that I didn't really anticipate we would ever see. But it's actually kind of nice. Because I think some of the complaints about the character of Mary before were that she didn't have the ability to speak up for herself, even in a, you know, in a polite way. There wasn't really an idea that there was Mary who had her own thoughts politically and her own beliefs politically. But we see that she kind of does have her own politics. It's just that they're a lot closer to home than for some of the other characters. Robin, what were you going to say?
And I think she's right at place in Whitehall. She was a woman who married, you know, since A became a farmer, she then technically married, like, below her station and below her upbringing. She was always raised to be a fine lady of the house, the grand house. And so I think when she's moved to Whitehall, as she says, as divine providence would always say, you know, we moved into this house, she became the lady of the house and assumed all responsibility. And I think that's what she was always raised to be. And I think she is in the power to be dismissive and to feel very at home and to be in control of the house, because that's all she's really known, and that's her element.
And there's no other mistress there, so it's like she just took that role. And, you know, when you consider some of the mistakes she made in season one, where she let slip the secret she wasn't supposed to say anything about, at going to this season where and Alyssa said sort of dismissing Richard, but kind of see it as she's so prepared for this lie. It just comes just right out. You know, she's not accidentally slipping. She's prepared, and she's stronger, and she's more confident in herself. And to me, that's a huge change.
Mm-hmm. I was also going to add, I think this whole attitude started at the end of last season, when she burned down the house, because her mind was made up. She was going to Whitehall, so she took matters into her own hands. So I think it definitely started at the end of episode 110 last year, and it just continued. So it was like a snowball from there. That
it feels like when she was going to marry Thomas, that there were some expectations about what her life was going to be like. And we even see that when it was actually a quote that Robin brought up that Townsend had said, that she had mentioned to me a few days ago, that kind of stuck with me, when he said something about, was she worth it, you know, to marry Mary and to do, you know, to do what Abe, the kind of sacrifice that Abe had made, but also to do the sacrifice that Mary had made, because she talks about when they're standing at Thomas's grave to say, you know, I was afraid when I was coming to a family that I didn't know, and then I knew Thomas and he was very kind, but then circumstances changed and I had to marry Abe. So I think she had this idea that she was probably going to live at Whitehall with Thomas, you know, as kind of the golden child. You know, we have this impression that we get from Richard that he really really kind of worshipped his elder son, and that he really admired him a great deal. So I think she had a certain set of expectations when she came into the marriage, and she kind of had to adjust her reality to suit what was actually, you know, occurring in her life at the time. But I think she's kind of managed to maneuver herself into, you know, safer positions as things have changed and kind of not gone to her, you know, in her favor or to her advantage. Hewlett was also mentioned, and so was Benedict Arnold. The thing about Hewlett is I'm not so sure, and I don't mean to say this in a bad way, but I don't think that Hewlett so much grew. We don't see a lot of growth from him as that he revealed who he was. It wasn't so much that he's changed, but he's kind of like a caterpillar, you know, with a chrysalis, or, you know, a moth with a cocoon. And we get to see these layers, you know, beneath who we imagine that Hewlett was. We kind of saw that he was an upstanding guy, and that, you know, even though he may be on the opposite side of those other characters that we admire, there's still a lot of admirable qualities about Hewlett. And I think the cool thing about him is that not so much necessarily that he's changed, but he's blossomed. And we've gotten to see so much more of him, and it's so cute because he really lights up when he talks about his passion, you know, astronomy, and to have Anna there and to have his stars. It was just really kind of charming, and I was really glad that we get to see that element of his character, because I think we all, on some level, knew that there was a lot more to this person. He had to have passion. He had to have interest. You know, there was something more to this person. What do you guys think?
I don't remember who posted this on Tumblr, but it was the best thing, I think, ever, where Simcoe's like, no woodsman, and then somebody put underneath the picture of him cutting out the cow, like, bitch, I might be. And I think that's the best part of Hewlett, because he didn't become a major sitting on his ass. Like, clearly he got skills and he did something, and I think Alyssa hit the nail on the head. I think he's revealed. I don't think he's necessarily progressed, although I'd say he stabbed Simcoe, which I think all of us wanted to do. But I think he's at least, screw chain of command, I'm going to stab this guy. That's probably a bit more progression than being revealed. But I really enjoyed getting to know Hewlett a little more this season.
Me too. Me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was funny, you mentioned how he came out of his cocoon. It was like literally came out of his cocoon. Well, this case was an animal carcass, but, you know, that's very, very symbolic of him, definitely. No, I think he was put into a situation. I mean, you know, I don't know the backstory of the Hewlett character from the show. But, you know, maybe he got a little bit comfortable being, you know, in his set up in the Setauket church, you know, with everything. Maybe he got a little bit comfortable. We don't know who he was beforehand, but it's good to see that part, and it makes him, and especially that whole the interactions with Anna too. It makes him a little bit it humanizes him, where I think before he was just so law. Order, authority, you know, when it was just cut and dry. Yeah. So I like that they definitely humanized him a little bit.
Yeah, it's like he sort of realizes too that it's not black and white, and this war is terrible for everyone, and they're, you know, it's not guys, bad guys, law, order, authority, you're colonial or you're on the wrong side, whatever. It was interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that there's that moment where he and Ben bow to one another after the exchange of prisoners and after what happened to Lucas Brewster, which I'm still not over, where it's almost like there's this acknowledgement of just because somebody is on your side does not mean that they share your value. And I think there's a lot of characters on opposite sides of this war who are actually very similar in terms of the value systems that they hold, but are divided just simply because of the allegiances that, you know, either by birth or, you know, whatever other circumstances are influencing their lives. You know, they've ended up on opposite sides, but I think there's a lot of, I think there's a lot that could kind of unite other characters were they not placed, you know, on opposite ends of, you know, the same conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked a lot about Arnold. We've addressed him kind of in depth But if we, you know, if we wanted to touch on just a, you know, a few things here and there, you know, in terms of
because
Allison called it a regression, and I thought that was interesting. You know, the way that you worded that, Allison. She's here with us in the chat. I can see her. but I thought that was interesting because, you know, we saw this man who was kind of being built up as he's recovering from his wounds, and then all of a sudden that exchange with Peggy, and then what followed just went so south so fast.
Well, I mean, it's exactly it. He's presented to us immediately as the hero of that scene with Lee and Washington, where Ben feels a bit powerless, and he comes in and has this great heroic moment. But then even, I think it's in the second episode, we already have Andre talking about, look at the slight to his vanity already. So, I mean, we built it. I mean, I thought AMC did a great job of building him up so quickly as, like, instantaneous hero status, and then immediately start demoting him and withering away at, or maybe chiseling away at who he is. And you're right, I think, Allison, that's such a great word for to explain what's going on.
And I feel badly for him in a sense, because I think that we're seeing Arnold, you know, at his possibly what is his very worst. You know, like you said, we see him kind of charging into this, covered in dirt, and he's kind of not disheveled, but we can tell that he's been in battle. He's been involved. He's been, you know, really essentially on the front lines, where a lot of these gentlemen are very, you know, kind of puffed up, and, you know, they're looking very nice around the table, and, you know, everything's very decorous. And then you see Arnold, who's really, like, leading the fray, and we just kind of see this whole kind of unraveling of his, I think his, essentially what he perceives to be his self. And so I do feel badly for him. I don't think that excuses his behavior towards Peggy, but I also see a person who is torn asunder in a lot of ways, you know, his pride, his career, even his finances. You know, a lot of the things that make this person who he is have been essentially decimated. So I think he's acting irrationally and wildly inappropriately, but I can't necessarily say that I haven't seen others in similar psychological distress behaving way outside, you know, the norm of what they would typically do in that same situation. I think he's struggling, and I don't feel like that necessarily is a rationale for what he's done. I'm just saying that I think that, you know, this is kind of a way of tracing, okay, this is where we saw him, and this is where he is now, and I think he's just got a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, he thinks everything is owed to him, but he's not the only one who has given up so much, you know, rank, pay, whatever, even Peggy, he thinks it's owed to him for everything he's done for the cause. And then you look at other true heroes. I mean, look at Ben, you know. Just mm-hmm. Ben, he's not a general or anything, but he's given up a lot for the cause. He's putting his life on the line every day. And I don't know. I think when things started regressing for him was he was this hero, he gets injured, and he can't be that guy anymore. You know, mm-hmm. he's not even hardly able to ride a horse. And, definite regression once that happened. And how do you recover from something like that back then? You know,
mm-hmm.
they just wanted to amputate his leg, and that was it.
Yeah.
I would love, of course, we all would love to see season 3. I would really want to see what they're going to do with him, to see if they're going to try to build him back up. Because he has gone in a really dark direction. But I think it's also, a lot of people were really upset about the way that Arnold was portrayed for that reason, especially with the situation with Peggy. And I, you know, we have to accept the creative license exists and that it is afforded to those who have the opportunity and privilege of being in control of this kind of, you know, this kind of writing and this kind of storytelling. So I can't say, you know, I wasn't pleased with what they did with the character, but I thought Owen did a marvelous job portraying this kind of dark, you know, descent into a kind of really negative, really kind of almost like a self-loathing that we see him convincing in this case. Let's move to Allison's next question, which I have here in front of me. It says, what did you all think of the departure of Nathaniel Sackett? Was it good for the story or an unnecessary deviation? Personally, I thought Sackett's death was good for not only Ben's development, but Washington as well. I think everybody knows about my soft spot for Mr. Sackett. Anybody who was at the tavern heard my thoughts on Mr. Sackett. I love Mr. Sackett. I love Stephen Root. He's fantastic. And so I miss Mr. Sackett. I wish that we had gotten to see what else Mr. Sackett would have brought in terms of his knowledge and his expertise and his experience. And not only that, his inventiveness. I think he was really, from what we saw, really good at taking the knowledge that he had gathered over time and really applying it to the situations that we saw in the show in a new and inventive kind of way. That being said, I do think it was good for the story. I definitely think it was good for the story. I don't necessarily think that what was achieved through his death could have been achieved in another way because, like Allison said, it was good for Ben's storyline. It was good for Washington's storyline. But I also think it was actually really good for Caleb's storyline, too, because what we see, what we find out, is that Caleb and Sackett actually had been discussing the turtle. You know, Caleb knew how to pilot it. He knew how it works. And so he kind of revealed to us that Sackett had put a lot of faith in him. So I think Sackett, I think we might find or we could find that Sackett has a lot of influences in places that we might not imagine we would find his influence. So I think it was good for the, show in what it achieved. I don't necessarily think that it was necessary to kill him, but I don't know that the same effect would have, you know, would have been the result if they had gone in any other direction in trying to do something like that. What do you guys think?
I was going to say that I think, you know, I understand why they did it was like a necessary evil, but can I just tell you that the those first like 2-3 episodes where we started to see the interaction between Sackett, Caleb, and Ben. I mean, it was like the potential that was there. I mean, the screen time potential was just, it just seemed like it was completely just brought to a halt. I mean, they were like a comedy act. Each one had their own place. You know, you had Sackett, who was the, if you want to call him like the ringleader. Then you had Ben, who was like the, okay, let's get to business. And then you just had Caleb, who was just like, come on, Mr. Sackett, you know, come on. You know you want to give me the turtle and let me operate this thing. You know it. And, I mean, it was just like the potential, the scene potential, especially that one scene in the spy barn, whatever you want to call it, his, like, invention little hub.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a taste of it then, and I wish it would have continued. I mean, just because those scenes were so great. I wish we could have had more of them.
Yeah,
you know?
And it was nice to have a little bit of humor cut through some of the, some of the really serious stuff, and then to have a scene with them, even though what they were talking about was serious, it was uplifting, sort of, you know, and I enjoyed that. But I think I do agree with her about it being necessary for Ben's growth, for sure, just because he had Sackett to fall back on, you know? Like, if he wasn't sure about it, he could always ask Sackett, and he lost that. With Washington, you know, he couldn't, I mean, at one point, Washington wasn't even talking to him, so he lost Washington as a resource, and Sackett was the one guy he could go to and talk about things and discuss problems or whatever.
One more thing I wanted to add is that I find that a lot of the, just, you know, in watching, you know, whenever you do get a chance to watch, a lot of the shows that are based on the Revolutionary War, they do get very serious. And because it was a turbulent time and it was very political, but, you know, it's it's so nice to see when they do throw a bit of comedy into it. You know, even just even as a television show, you know, that's what we love to see, those moments where they do let loose a little bit. And I understand that, you know, it's the, just the time period. It is a serious time. But you know what? These people, they laughed, too. And they, you know, they had to. They were, I mean, it wasn't like Debbie Downer all the time. Laughter is like the best medicine. You know, like, you know, they were laughing, they were joking, they were playing music, and it's nice to see that come through in a show, especially, you know, one based on Revolutionary War, because I do feel like a lot of them are very serious, you know, whether it be a movie or, a, you know, something like that, you know. So it was nice to see that a little bit of comedy in there.
Yeah, because humor is an essential part of the human experience. And I think especially when you're in a position where things feel unfair and you feel like the deck is stacked against you, and a lot of the time you accomplish that by, you know, making light of the situation or, you know, kind of laughing at the way that, you know, the stars align in some ways. Although I do think, too, that Sackett's death, not just for individual growth, based on, you know, Sackett himself, you know, we see Sackett himself kind of growing as, you know, this mentor, and then he's kind of ripped from Ben and from Caleb and from Washington. But I think that until this time, even with Lee and the way that they kind of outed Lee as being really against Washington, as, you know, as a detractor, I feel like a lot of that served to kind of show Ben that Washington is not maybe as perfect as he thought he was. They've had some disagreements, but I think this is the time when Ben truly questioned Washington's judgment for the first time and said, I think this is the first time he blamed Washington for something, because he really said, if you had let me do my job, essentially, if you hadn't gotten in the way, I would have sussed this out, I would have figured all of this out. So I think it was important. Like, I think this, all of this makes sense to where the story was going. It's just that the way that Krista kind of conceptualized it was perfect. We see all this growth, we see all this, you know, fun that they're having, and it looks like this is going to be like super spy team, and then all of a sudden, you know, Sackett's kind of, you know, ripped from the group, and it's just this kind of awful feeling, this really negative feeling, and I don't know, I miss him. I miss him, and I miss Boris MacGyver, who is Reverend Talmadge. I thought we'd, you know, hear the voice of reason. I know I always talk about my two wives, Nathaniel, that I admire so much. I wish that we had seen more of him, because, and I want to see Caleb's sister. I want to know about Caleb's sister. He has a sister who lives in Setauket, who they talked about as having the palsy, and I just kind of want to know what she's doing, and, you know, because we do see some women, but I would love to know what Caleb's sister is like. Just a girl who grew up in a household of Caleb. I need to meet this woman. I don't know how much, if anything, people know about our trip, but we did take the weekend, and we all went to Williamsburg together and to see each other for, you know, just kind of a girls' weekend to hang out, just the five of us. It was kind of a condensed trip. We were there. We all kind of got there on Friday. We all left on Sunday. So it was really quick, but it was a really nice chance for us to get to spend some time together. We had a lot of laughs.
I call it a glorified
it was a really wonderful
36
time.
Hours.
I was afraid for a little while there that we weren't all going to make it. Everyone had funny things happen to them on their trip there. Amanda, on her train ride, poor thing, ended up flying out of Chicago. And Krista's train was delayed. Yeah, go ahead.
For anybody who's going to be traveling cross-country, East Coast Amtrak is great. Do not, and I repeat, do not take Amtrak across the Midwest during tornado season. I'm going to be posting some very interesting funnel cloud pictures I took on my way home. Don't do it if you value your life.
That's all I'm saying.
Because one of the reasons we wanted to do this chat tonight was to get make sure everyone knows like what the BPS is, but also to get to know the five of us better. If you have questions or like, it was kind of a fun trip because most of you don't might not know that we all actually live in different states. So it was a big trip, you know, for all of us to come together. But it's just little things like that that we thought we'd share and, you know, make us more like people, not just like online usernames.
Definitely, because I think, you know, you see everybody's name and you associate that with a blog. But, you know, when we started doing the podcast, one for each episode during this season, and it's something we will continue during season three, every time I talk about season three, it's
thinking
and when and next year and all of that. So that's something that we will continue through next year and do. So for those of you who might just be joining us or might be listening for the first time, what we started to do, so we started the group chat on Skype, which is just a text chat, and everybody comes together with, you know, their thoughts about the show. And that was, you know, after the show premiered, we would go from the next hour or so, however much, you know, time everybody wanted to spend in the chat, just discussing the episodes. And so the very first one was actually the week before the show premiered, and then we started doing the weeklies, and then we thought, okay, what are we going to do to make sure that AMC knows that we're serious? So we thought, we start a podcast and we get everyone chatting and we get everyone talking, maybe that might help. So I want to say that episode 6, maybe 7, 8, 9, and 10 we did. I'm trying to remember which ones we did podcasts for. But we started to do the podcast and the chat. So what you're listening to now is we're actually all on webcam together. We can see each other and we can actually, you know, tell when the next person is going to speak, which is super helpful. But we also have a chat open on Skype so that everybody who's not actually on the line with us can still share their thoughts and can discuss along with us and remind us of things and ask questions and bring up interesting topics. So it's really like a town hall meeting almost every time that an episode premieres. So it's really nice to kind of get together with everybody, especially after the show ends. You have all these things that you want to say and all these things that you're thinking, and it's just great to be able to get everybody together in one forum and talk about it. So that being said, I think we should announce what we're going to be doing next. One of the things I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast was that fans of Turn needn't worry because BPS is staying with the show regardless of whatever decisions AMC makes. We're going to have a lot of fun things that are coming up for the fandom. So one of those things is actually going to start next week. We're going to be starting on Thursday, the 16th of July at 9 p.m. What we're going to do is we're going to host a rewatch. So we're going to ask, because I know it can be difficult to try to get the episodes in and for everybody to watch at once. That might be kind of a logistical nightmare. But Robin had this great idea that we could do this rewatch, and we were trying to think of how, you know, how we would do it. So we're going to take episodes 1 through 3, and we're going to talk about those Thursday the 16th at 9. We're going to do another group chat. We're going to do another podcast, and we'll talk about the episodes, and we'll have a chance for everybody to submit questions if they want to. The other neat thing about this Blog Talk Radio bit is that whoever would like to is able to call in, so we can take guest callers and everyone can share their thoughts. We've done that in the past with some other Turn fans for the other podcasts, and it's been great. And we've also had a very special guest with us one time, which was wonderful, and maybe we'll hear from some other guests as well, which should be wonderful. So the rewatch, there will be posts about this on Tumblr and Twitter. We're going to take the episodes about 3 at a time and do 3 a week so that everybody can take the time they need to during the week to get the episodes watched, and there won't be a specific time we all have to sit down in front of the TV, because I know that would be really difficult for a lot of people. So we can just make sure that we watch the ones that everyone's going to be discussing, and then we can all get together. And we'll have a post up during the week so that everyone can submit questions, or if you just happen to want to talk about a certain character or a certain theme, just let us know, and we will all do that together. So it'll be nice to have our weekly chats back again, because, you know, it's been sad not to have everybody together and to talk with everybody. And BPS is all about community and all about being friendly and welcoming and kind to everybody else. And we want to create a safe environment where everybody feels able to share their opinions in a constructive way, and you know, feel free to agree or disagree as much as you want. But our mission is really to create a really safe and welcoming and warm space for all members of the fandom. It's very important to us that everybody feels happy when they're with us and when they're talking about the show. It's such a great show, and it's such a great community of fans.
And that you can reach out to us. I was going to say that you can reach out to us anytime about anything. I mean, we're here for you guys, and I know one of the things that made us such good friends is that we can talk about our lives, our families, you know, anything that's going on. If you need someone to talk to, you know, we're always here. Our Ask Box is always open. You know, please feel free to reach out and talk.
This is a great fandom. Any negativity has been so minuscule and so irrelevant that it's just it makes me proud to know that everybody is really on the same page. You know, it's kind of funny because we do take a bit of a cue from the 18th century. You know, be polite.
Yeah.
Conduct yourself as a lady or gentleman, or if you choose not to have a gender, as a person, or if you choose to blend or be fluid, just be an upstanding citizen of the world. And so know that it's important to us to preserve this kind of forum as a place where everybody can be assured that if they need to reach out to somebody or talk to somebody, that they have the ability to do that. That's part of what the Continental Congress is. So I guess I could talk a little bit. We could probably talk a little bit about BPS and how it started and all of that. During season one, it was funny because we had all come together as friends and gotten to know each other at different times. And at some point, you know, we were all really close. And at some point, I forget who it was that I was speaking to, but I referred to our group as, quote, our little black petticoat society. And that's the idea was born. So, yeah, I think it probably wasn't, because Amanda and I talk a lot. So I think that's when I made that reference. And so we started just referring to ourselves that way as members of the fandom because it was fun and it was kind of a, you know, a silly way to refer to ourselves. And then people kind of got wind of it and were like, wait a minute, can I join you guys? And we thought, of course you can join us. That's what this is all about. You know, we want more people to join us. We are actively accepting new recruits any time of the day, all hours. You know, just send us some, you know, send me an ask because I have the roster and I can put everybody on there. But you can send any of us an ask at any time. So what happened was I was doing the recruitment post where I would announce to the fandom that somebody had joined BPS, and it would go off on Tumblr. And then what I decided to do for season two is we would have a roster, and the roster is a great thing because it's a network. It's essentially, if you are new to the Churn fandom or if you're in the Churn fandom and you're seeking information, it's a place where you can go to find other people who are fans who are going to be friendly and warm and inviting when you approach them, and it's so you know who to follow, and you can find different blogs that maybe somebody does great edits or maybe somebody, you know, writes great fiction or whatever you're looking for. There's got to be somebody on that list who kind of has an interest that's similar to yours. So the roster is an easy way for people to find each other and to network based on similar interests. Congress, the reason that Congress is listed the way it is because I felt that those people listed there had been with us since the beginning of the fandom, had contributed so much to the fandom, were so dedicated to the show, and I think it's just a great way to kind of identify those people who kind of have an idea of what's going on. And if you need to reach out to somebody or ask questions, that's the group of people that you would look to. We chose the name Continental Congress because it's fun, because this is a show about the American Revolution. The Continental Congress, you know, is a group of delegates who all got together and decided to advocate on behalf of the people. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create, you know, fun activities that everybody can join in on that, you know, of the people, by the people, for the people. So that's what Congress is about. We're basically here to facilitate and to be inclusive and to draw everybody together to a common purpose, which is to enjoy Turn. And we've had such a wonderful time, and I love the Black Petticoat Society so much. I am so excited every time somebody asks me a question about it. I'm so excited every time we have new recruits. this is such an amazing group of people. People have come to us with personal concerns. They've come to us, you know, with all kinds of things that kind of seemed like, you know, trouble or, you know, were upsetting to them. And it's, you know, it's important to us to be there, whether it's turn related or not. If somebody needs somebody to talk to, you know, that's what we're there for. We're definitely inclusive. We're definitely welcoming. It's all about being a community, and to be a part of that community, all you have to do is love Turn and treat members of the cast and members of the fandom with respect. And if you can do that, you can be in VPS. That's all that we have to say, I think, about that. does anybody want to add anything?
I'll just add that, I mean, Alyssa, I think, has really hit the nail on the head with what we are about. And, well, she should. She's the founder. but I think our role is, I mean, we just curate content and activities for you all to do and, you know, schedule rewatches. But not to say that other people can't do that, you know, and do things like that. We have the fantastic Twitter campaign that's going on. You know, we love GW and that's such a great idea. So it's not to say, oh, you can't be a part of the, you know, you can't do anything. We just try to put out ideas out there to, you know, keep this fun and keep this going.
Yeah, I love
it. It's great to help.
The trending on Twitter campaign I thought was great.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool because, you know, with BPS, we can reach out to so many people at once. And Sierra, who is on Tumblr and is also, you know, on Twitter, she was the one who came up with the We Love, as Robin was talking about, We Love, and then there would be a specific character in mind. And it was cool because when somebody comes up with an idea like that, the great thing about BPS is that everybody can kind of rally and we can send out, you know, an announcement and everybody will have it all at once. So it's a great way it's a really great way to network. I feel like it's probably the most organized thing I've ever done. You know, as a writer, I tend to kind of be all over the place in a lot of ways. But and then, of course, we have Culper code numbers, which are it's kind of funny because we use them for different things. We use them for covert reasons, and then we also use them for kind of more fandom-wide things. And as we do some more things like we did last year with Amanda Organized, it was great. She organized the Secret Santa. We're going to be using a little bit more of the numbers, the code numbers, for more things. It'll be cool to kind of start to use those a little bit. And anybody who doesn't have a copy of the PDF of the full Culper code, make sure you ask one of us for it because you may start to see some things popping up that are encoded. So be able to decode those and see what's going on. We'll keep everybody posted, of course, in terms of what's going on with the renewal. I have to admit to feeling a little bit disillusioned with Twitter because, you know, you say, please renew this show, please renew this show. For the love of God, please renew this show. And to not have heard anything yet can be a little bit discouraging. So definitely Tumblr's BPS is home, but we definitely like to be present on Twitter when and where it becomes relevant to the renewal. So we'll keep everybody posted as far as that. The rewatch, I think, is going to be fun because, you know, regardless of how many times you watch the show, you're going to notice different things. I know Robin had said that she was doing, which this is awesome. I think this is awesome. She's been watching the episodes.
Can we tell them that?
Yeah. So you tell them what you've been doing, watching the episodes for each character.
So what I've been doing is not just rewatching the episodes, but watching only, like, picking a character, like, let's say Hewlett, and watching only the scenes Hewlett is in each of those episodes to really specifically focus on, you know, the words that they're saying, how they're interacting, how they're, you know, moving along from episode to episode. And it's really fascinating because sometimes you pick up on little nuances in the way they say things or what do they mean by that or, you know, in a bigger scene that it just goes by so quick. It's been really fascinating to do that character by character. So if you want a way to get really in depth and feel like you know a character, I highly recommend doing that.
Yeah. I will be doing that with George Washington. He's my favorite, and he will be one of my
Who's your founding father?
That is our favorite catchphrase. That would be, who's your founding father? We're going to keep that
one.
GW.
That would never get old.
No. We have all these things in here. Oh, I'll play you guys my favorite one. This is one that Krista isolated for me when I realized that Ben Talmadge said two very special words. You guys ready? I'm just gonna pretend that you guys are ready.
Black petticoat.
You guys heard that right?
Ding 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 ding. We have a winner.
We are all winners tonight.
Do you have any of the ads available?
I may. Let me scroll down. Yeah, you know what? Look, it's summertime, and, you know, everybody likes to have a little fun in the summer. Let's hear from our beautiful sponsor, one of our favorite night spots, The Bowery.
The Bowery. Be seen at The Bowery. The place to go is The Bowery. Celebrities love The Bowery.
Yeah, we saw John Andre.
We love the Bowery.
I saw Guy Fawkes there. It was so much fun. We were throwing cabbage at him, and it was awesome.
I love the Bowery.
DJ Gamble sitting here too.
But the party doesn't end when the candles are blown out.
Join us after hours at Holy Ground.
The night continues till 4.
The world's famous Bowery.
The Bowery in New York City.
I think I had more fun doing that one. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Krista works in radio and does this all the time, and she's absolutely phenomenal and it's so creative. She makes wonderful ads.
Occasionally, I'll have these few moments of downtime, and I will just, something will trigger this this commercial in my head, and it's usually turn related. So. Well, as soon as I've been wanting to do the Bowery Nightclub for a long time, but, you know, turnstile, of course. And but you've got to get the After Hours Club, the Holy Ground Club, because, yeah.
Well, if you happen to like a little bit of entertainment, some revelry, or if, like Major Schiller, you're just looking for an ale, you may find yourself heading over to our next sponsor.
The Bowery.
Wrong one.
Strong Tavern is under new ownership and is now De Young Tavern. Open daily from noon to 11 p.m. Serving lunch and supper. Light fare is served from 9 p.m. until close. We have a vast selection of ales to choose from. Three of them. For something a bit stronger, we have Joyce's Gin. Barrel-aged twice for 8 months with a tangy kick. Join us for Tory Tuesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Show us your loyalty pin to receive a free round of ales to your table. Spend your evenings at De Young Tavern. Your secret is safe with us.
Barrel aged twice with a tangy kick. You all know what that is. Because Mr. DeYoung does not let anything go to waste.
DeYoung's
nasty.
Chris and I have a project that we're going to end up working on. I have been behind on on the creation or the, you know, the actual plot points of blogs, but actually having time to sit down and write has kind of been a challenge. I work in an inpatient hospital, so I stayed on for my intern. My internship site is fantastic. I got my master's in clinical psych in May, and from September to May, I was at this particular hospital where I was the intern for the year, and they asked me to stay on for the summer, which I've happily done. So exciting to be there. I love being there. I love the patients. I love all the professionals. It's been wonderful, and I absolutely love it. However, I've had a little bit less time to work on blogs than I had anticipated, and the next chapter is going to include a few things that I'm playing around revealing some elements about Charlotte's family background that I may not want to talk about yet. There's some stuff that's not, I wouldn't say dark, but there's some stuff that it gets a little bit complicated. So I'm trying to figure out how Mr. Suckett is going to ask certain questions and when he's going to ask certain questions. So it's funny because for me, you know, time to be by myself doesn't necessarily mean time to write because I get distracted a lot. So for those of you who are waiting on Blob, just know that it's coming. I'm not going to abandon it. I'm not going to desert it. I have a lot that's waiting for everybody to read and excited for everyone to read. But I just have to be in that place where I feel like I can compose, you know, in a way that I feel is, you know, meaningful and is authentic to what I want to come across. You know, what I'm kind of hearing and seeing in my mind has to be actualized appropriately for me to feel like it's been done correctly. So, but Krista and I are going to be working on a, so you've heard two now of her amazing commercials that she's done. And so she's very, very skilled at not only narration of the commercials, but with editing and everything like that. So we're gonna be doing a kind of a fun, like, trailer almost for Blobs, like you might hear on the radio. So we're going to mesh some stuff together, and it should be kind of fun. I hope everyone enjoys that because we've been thinking about that, doing that for a while. So it's something that we're going to work on. So maybe what we'll do is we can premiere that, Kristen, next week, next Thursday when we do our rewatch, or we can post it on Tumblr and then play it for everybody too if we wanted to. So let me think. What else do we want to talk about? This is kind of an exciting chat for us because there's, you know, we had an agenda, but it was also kind of like, let's hang out with everyone. And let's get to talk to, you know, with everyone. Because Allison is looking at this chat and Allison's hitting it right on the head. Withdrawal. It's hard not to have new episodes. It's funny, like once the season starts, 10 weeks and that's it. And, you know, you're just going to have to deal with rewatches from there. So it's nice to get a, you know, have a chance to talk with everybody and just interact and let everyone know that we're going to be around. We're going to be doing more things with the fandom. It's going to be a lot of fun. So yes, look for updates on Blob. I promise they're forthcoming. and let's see, do we have any questions from the chat? I want to make sure that we're addressing everyone's not concerns, but if anyone has anything they wanted to talk about, we have a few minutes left. I want to see. We have 7 minutes left. so
and these can be questions about the. Anything. Can be questions about the show. They could be questions about our open book.
Yeah. Anything you want to talk about, I'm fine with us. Oh, this is a good question. This is a loaded question, but it's a good question.
Mm.
George
Washington.
Yeah,
MS
1776.
No there.
I guess we don't really need to explain that one.
Who's your founding father?
There you go. Thank you, Alyssa.
Someone take this away from me.
Too late.
I think everyone probably knows that my favorite character is Benjamin Talmadge. but there's it's funny because there's other characters that I really like that are kind of like more side characters. Like I continue to love because he lives on in my heart. And also I love Urban Talmadge and but Ben's my favorite and it's because for a lot of reasons, because he's gallant, because he's gentlemanly, because he's, you know, intelligent and but I think the real reason that I love Ben is that he's always trying to learn. He's always, you know, trying to feed his brain whatever it is he's always trying to improve his skills, whether it's in tradecraft, whether it's, you know, in other, you know, facets of his life. He's somebody who wants to learn, who wants to improve himself, who wants to just be better at everything that he does. And I love that drive and that initiative. And he's loyal to the cause. I mean, just, he changed the whole, I was going to say the whole package, but now it's all gone south and terrible. And that was not an appropriate reference. So we're going to move on. And we're going to ask someone else what they think. Because I'm the package.
I would say.
Who's your favorite?
My favorite. Okay. Well, this is. We're doing season two, so this is my favorite character, season two. I'm a huge fan of Townsend. I'm a huge Townsend fangirl. But I think part of what I find so interesting about him is, you know, he's a bit of a malcontent, but he's quite smart. And I'd like to think of myself would probably be sort of like Townsend if I was in that situation. Like, I don't know if I'd be like Abe and be all gung-ho and be like, I'm going to go be a spy, and yeah, and... I think I'd be much like Townsend. I'd be very reserved and very skeptical and probably really mad that I was being pursued to become a spy. I'd probably be like, leave me alone. You want to get me hanged? No, thank you. So I think I'm a bubbly person on the outside, but on the inside, I'm very much a cynic. So that's my favorite character.
I like that. Amanda.
This is going to sound really unpopular, but my favorite character is well, it was Sela, but he's gone now. My favorite character right now is Bradford. I'm just kind of hanging on to that hope. I'm pretty sure he's innocent, or at least there's a lot of reasonable doubt, I think. And I mean, I know he was only in three episodes, but just the character was really intriguing. So I'm like, oh, tell me more about this. Oh, I don't know. Because I think the whole thing, like, at the very end, oh, he's the one who was going to kill Washington. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, no. Now I'm just like, okay.
Mm-mm.
And it's okay to like unpopular characters. And I think that's one of the great things about Turn is that our characters are so dynamic that there's not necessarily a black or a white in terms of good or evil or right or wrong. There's a lot of gray areas. And so... it's okay to like the bad guy, even if he is the bad guy. That's okay.
What about you, Krista?
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, okay, I'll say the obvious. We all know that Ben is striking. He's you know, if I saw someone in you know, a continental
waistcoat?
Uniform and a waistcoat and everything walking down the street, I'd probably have to do a double take. You know, but, I mean, there, I just, without the others, I love Caleb. I mean, I want him, I don't have any brothers, but if I do, I'd want Caleb to be my brother. You know, even Simcoe, he's awesome, he's evil, but, I mean, just his character is, we all love him. We can't wait for his scenes and when Sam talks with his, you know, that high-pitched voice of his, we all love it. So, you know.
I'm not going to do this. I'm going. I did that at, like, it was like 1:30 in the morning. And that's the appropriate time to do that because I had to call you back because you were on the phone and then all of a sudden we got disconnected, called your voicemail. I called your phone as though I were Simcoe leaving you a voicemail. And
I
don't know that I will ever do that for another living
person. Like, literally, juice came out my nose all over the floor, and I still am not a fan of grape juice to this day. Thank you. It was brilliant. It was so freaking brilliant.
So, we have 90 seconds. We did mention Simcoe. I do want to mention, I'm going to answer that ask that I received in my inbox, but I want to let you all know that I am planning on doing Simcology. Simcology is what it's going to be is a psychological assessment of John Gray Simcoe. Because he was so kind of all over the board this season, I wanted to kind of wait and see what was going to happen with him. So I'm going to do rewatches, kind of like Robinson done specifically on Simcoe, and the full psychological assessment should be up within the next couple of weeks. We only have about 30 seconds to close out our episode. I feel like this has gone so quickly, but I think it's because we've missed all of you so much and we haven't had a chance to talk with you for so long. But we're going to have the rewatch, Nobody Forgets, on Thursday, July 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but there will be reminders in the meantime so that nobody has to worry about remembering. We have 10 seconds, so I just want to say goodbye to everybody and thank you. We love all of you guys so much.
Season
and
3.
We will talk to you soon. Bye.
Hashtag
yes,
new
positive thinking. Positive thinking. Bye.